good morning, folks, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a nice, strong, healthy, safe, productive morning this morning. And I've had to calm down a few of my friends. I told you guys last week this whole market thing was going to happen. There was no question about you were going to see a market correction last week and into this week. It had to happen. There was no question about it. So getting freaked out about it, I can tell you right now, I'm not, nor are you, Dad, nor are you guys, going to change anything about what they're doing right now.
I've been out of equity since 2008. I said that last big crash, I had enough of the gambling.
Well, I had a lot of people ask me last week what to do. I said, whatever you want to do, whatever your financial advisor tells you to do. I said, but you already know what's going to happen on Thursday. You already know what's planning on happening. So just be prepared for it. And everybody's acting like it's this big surprise.
Well, when the federal government pumps trillions of dollars into the economy and hires millions of people that don't have to be working
through
anymore.
COVID. Through COVID policy.
Well, no, the crazy federal government. You know, Bill Clinton got rid of 400,000 federal employees. He didn't take this big hit like Trump is.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, we have artificially stimulated the economy to the point of pushing the Dow over 45,000. The output and the production of the United States has not been correct to do that. It's not worth it.
Scott Bessent, he did an interview, and he was actually really clear and articulate about what he talked about. He said, we could easily keep pumping up the economy with money, borrowing money, creating lots of government jobs, which is what happened over the last 3 years. See, with COVID and the massive trillions of dollars got pumped in the economy, everybody was making money. It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter what you did. You sat at home all day and got unemployment. You got paid. You got stimulus checks. Everybody had money because it was basically free money for the time being. Well, that money did have a cost on the late end. And the problem is the only way to keep the markets going and not having them crash after all that money is they had to keep pumping more and more cash into it. They had to keep creating more government jobs that weren't needed.
And that's what that USID was doing.
That's what USID was doing. The reason why all these government layoffs are happening is because there were so many jobs that were created that were completely and totally useless. There were redundancies. And then you have these people now that are running around and they're basically protesting what's going on with the whole thing with, you know, Doge cutting jobs and ICE being basically brought in.
Sending 250 gang members back to
right.
El Salvador.
Right. And then you got these individuals. And this is crazy to me when you watch this, how mind controlled some people are, where they literally will parrot and do anything the mainstream media tells them to do. This is a photo somebody sent me from downtown Ocala, Florida, this weekend. These are people that are protesting. She has a sign that says, free the ICE victims. That's Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE.
Those are 250 people sent back to El Salvador.
From MS-13 gang members.
Yeah.
Free the ICE victims.
I think they should move them in with her.
You know, I was honestly, if I would have been, that was one of the most disturbing yet funniest signs I've ever seen. I thought about that. I was like, I probably would have walked up to her and be like, ma'am, if you don't mind, you let me get in contact with you. Let me get your email. I'll notify ICE that you're willing to house all these ICE victims. Obviously, you're out here protesting for them. You know, okay, we can help you out with that. Get your name, your address, your time frame, and we'll bring about 15 of these guys over, and they can rack up in your bedrooms with you, about four deep in bunk beds. And you could help the victims out because this.
And you know, the thing. Well, hang on a second. You know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You know, that's from Disney.
Yeah.
Supercalifragilistic. That's what that's supposed to be.
Expialidocious. That's
yeah,
right.
So a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Nazi POTUS. All right. So he's trying to make. He's probably a big Disney boy. Probably has Disney.
Well, the rainbow umbrella behind them.
Oh,
really
yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is, and I've seen these people before, and I've talked to them before. Not these particular individuals, but people in general like this. And every single time you talk to them, they're on the government handout dole list.
Almost all of them.
I mean, 99% of them are.
They're essentially either directly or indirectly being paid to do this.
The one over here on the left looks like the girl that basically I met on the airplane that time who told me I need to be paying, you know, 90% income
fascism.
Taxes. 90% income tax. So that's what she told me. I mean, I told you that story before. It's horrible. We come back to the United States and we watch what happens. And then we look at people like David Siegel. Now, he built this. He had never finished it. This, you know, 90,000 square foot home over in Orlando.
How do you say 90,000?
90? Yeah, 90,000. And it's supposed to be appraised for over $100 million.
They have photos of it online?
Oh, yeah. I've toured it. Sure. I actually went over there one time and. And they had the gates were all open. They were working on it. And we walked in and we actually went through the entire house No one ever said anything to us. There are so many subcontractors, and they're working at once.
Now, you aren't joking. 90,000 square foot belonging to Westgate Resort founder David Siegel.
Well, he died this weekend, and you know, and so he had he had ten kids. They actually did a show on that. It's called, you know, that's the big boy.
That's just a part of it.
Well, no, you should see how deep it is. It's unbelievable. It's got like an Olympic-sized pool in there. And he ran out of money. The Bible says that a man's foolish if he basically starts a project and he doesn't figure out how to finish it and doesn't have the money to finish it. But he was an interesting guy. So here we have David Siegel. This is, by the way, this particular topic right now is the mental candy for this morning to try to get everybody calmed down because of the Dow falling. Just let you know why I'm doing this.
But that's it. Look at that monster. It's got a whole bottom floor is a basement.
That's like an Olympic sized pool, by the way. It's right on the water.
God, it's right on a swamp.
It's right on the water. And this is like Olympic sized pool here. The lake's right back over here.
How many stories is that thing? One, then a two, then a three, then a four, then a five. Is it five stories?
Well, no, it's insane. It's in the middle of this all is open here. And so there's a giant, you know, like.
Just to put this in perspective, guys, this is Islesworth, one of the highest, like, biggest houses in Florida. All these other houses are probably, what, 10, 15,000 square feet?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These houses look like track houses beside it. Mm-hmm.
But he ran out of money, never got it finished. They did a TV show on it. They actually did a movie about it called The Queen of Versailles, I believe it was. And that was interesting because I believe it, and it says in Abigail Disney's profile that she was one of the people that helped do the direction and the production of that film. Now, whether she did or not, I don't know.
That is nice.
Abigail Disney now, she's worth about $160 million, and she's saying how they should be giving people should be paying much more in income tax. Now, she's an heir. She's a trust fund baby.
Trust fund babies love to say stuff like that.
She was Roy Disney's daughter. And basically inherited a bunch of money for hundreds of – he was worth over $1 billion. And it's always funny to me how these trust fund babies says, well, I've given some of my money away. And I'm like, why haven't you given it all away? You know, you're worth $160 million. Then you never did anything for it. All you want to do is protest to the United States and you're a stinking communist. You know, what is wrong with you? I mean, you know, you got born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You were given everything you ever wanted in your entire life. And now you're complaining that everybody needs to pay more income tax when yet you never work for any of the money you have right now. Think about that, Austin. It's just, and I'm sorry, I get on a real tear about that. Now, this morning I had my GHI cleanse instead of my chocolate protein because I ran out of chocolate protein. Plus, the thing that GHI cleanse has been doing.
You guys are buying it all up. I'm trying to.
Well, no, you know what it was? This is interesting. I've been taking a couple of scoops a day now for a while. And I had these sunspots on the back of my hands.
Yeah.
You know, like I guess some people call them liver spots or whatever. They're all gone. You can see they're gone.
GHI?
That's the only thing I changed.
Well, it's got really strong detoxifiers in it for the liver. I mean, it will literally heal the liver. I've seen people that have had serious issues, even from pharmaceutical drugs, where their ASTs and their ALTs are through the roof. Their liver values are through the roof. And they start on that product, and it completely heals their gut up and their liver. And their liver values are all within very, very healthy range.
Well, so but I wanted to tell you, I don't know if that's what did it or not, but I had those sunspots on my hands, and they're all gone.
Does magnesium help out with that at all?
Oh, I'm sure it does. I've been taking that for years.
I know, that's true.
But what happened is Van and I shifted the protein shake after our workout every day to the GHI.
So the Fit Food's great. It's obviously a more value product for you if you're getting just straight protein. That's one of the reasons why I like it for weight training, muscle repair. The GHI is a really good detoxifying formula. And then also, too, on top of that, we talked about last week. A lot of people are taking advantage of this. The product of the week, the magnesium brain food. One of our most popular products that we have is magnesium theanate. Talked about it in detail last week. It's on sale for two more days. It'll be changing Wednesday morning, whatever the new product's going to win.
That's a huge discount.
That's over 15% off. So be sure to guys take advantage of that right now because that is a really, really popular product. And heads up, the ultimate multiple powder. I got a batch that got delayed. It's in processing. It's almost done, but it got delayed. So I've got a few cans left. So if you guys have ordered it, you're waiting on it, or you want to grab it before it's out, make sure you're grabbing it right now because I only have a few cans left in stock. So you may get back ordered if you order right now. It'll be back in probably in a week or two. But I know a lot of people like to stay stocked up on that. So everybody heads up on that.
One more thing about Abigail Disney. She says that every billionaire who cannot live on $999 million is kind of a sociopath.
Where does she what? Come? That doesn't make sense.
No. You're not a billionaire if you're worth $999 million.
Yeah.
But you got to say you're a billionaire. And here she's running her mouth again. She can't keep her mouth shut. Every billionaire who can't live on $999 million is kind of a sociopath. I mean, where does she get off saying stuff like this? I mean, you know, she's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, you know. But, you know, if she's so concerned, it's like Oprah. We need to get more money, more taxes. Well, Oprah, you're worth billions of dollars. Why don't you give all your money away? Why don't you do that? Why don't you give all of it away and be that person or drop it down to a few million dollars? And so it's frustrating to me when I hear these guys run their mouths all the time and they talk about all this stuff. By the way, let's talk about something, you know, as far as from a health standpoint, because I'll get all frustrated when I talk about these other guys. Fungal infections are taking over the world. Can they be stopped? This is a major deal, and it's really, really started. A lot of this has really started after the COVID shot with the suppressing of the immune system. Just let you know that. Yeah. But it says, as the landmark WHO reported warns of a lack of treatments and diagnosis we investigated threat now that kills twice as many people globally as TB, blood congealed like black sausage, sexually transmitted athlete's foot, and bloodstream-borne pathogens untreatable with existing drugs. These are the kinds of fungal infections. Professor Darius Armstrong, infectious disease and medical mycology at the Imperial College of London, is used to treating. Probably about a third of the world is affected by some type of fungus, says Professor Armstrong. Mostly skin, candidus, athlete's foot. These kind of fungi aren't deadly, but they're increasing in resistance. More lethal fungi, but varies. Okay, I'm going to stop here because it's going to get real technical, complicated. Here's what I do if I ever get a problem with a fungal infection with yeast. I use black seed oil. B-L-A-C-K, black seed oil. We have it in liquid. I take a tablespoon 3 times a day, mix with a little pomegranate juice. It's palatable that way because it tastes pretty bad, and it's really, really, really good for fungal infections. It's been a major problem. I've been getting a lot of emails over this, and I've had good results personally with this. Now, I'm not diagnosing or prescribing or telling you to stop taking something you've been given as an antibiotic or whatever, but what I'm telling you is that I've seen really good results with fungal infections with black seed oil, period. In fact, Muhammad, I think what he said, now I'm quoting Muhammad now, Austin, if you're but he loved the black seed oil, and he said it was the cure for everything but death. And I tell you what, black seed oil has done a lot. It really, really has. And if I would take this about a tablespoon 3 times a day, if I had a problem with a fungal infection, I would just say that's what I would do. And it's amazing how bad these things have gotten globally with the fungal infections.
I want to add into that too. We've also seen it work really, really good for prostate health with reduced inflammation when used in conjunction with the prostate support.
We have.
That's really important. If you're having an issue, a major issue with prostate with guys, and you're taking the prostate support and it's still not giving you quite the results you want,
1 tablespoon 3 times a day.
Drop the black seed oil on top of it. Mm-hmm. If you need to, if you can't take the liquid, we have it in capsule form. However, the liquids, you can get a lot more of it. But please, hear me when I say this, it does not taste the best. I don't want anybody having this reserve about it. They think it's like, oh, it's great. It tastes good. It's rough. If you cannot stomach it and you got to get it down, the capsules are there for that.
Well, no, just mix it with pomegranate. It's fine with pomegranate juice.
With pomegranate juice, yeah, you can do that.
But that's, I mean,
if you just take a whole tablespoon of it, just one swill with nothing else.
I've done that.
I know you have.
Man, you're
your machine, yeah, though.
Your mom, Sharon, boy, she can just swallow that stuff, man.
Some people respond to it differently. Like I saw some people, they don't have a problem with it, but other people, it's strong. But it works incredibly well, anti-inflammatory, antifungal. It's a great product, especially for infections like that.
It really, really, really is. I'm looking for an article that I pulled up this morning. I want to read through part of it here in a second. So go ahead and do another.
Absolutely. Well, one topic that I wanted about on here, it says Deutsche Bank. You know, I was talking to you guys about vehicles. It says Deutsche Bank, the tariff burden in the auto industry will be shared just as it was during COVID. It says analysis covered virtually every model sold in the United States. The bank was, when it was looking at Deutsche Bank, said a note last week, the direction takeaways they had the auto industry going forward were relatively unchanged, and the firm shared detail on what it believes tariff impact will land. All parts of vehicles, including tires, are subject to tariffs. Many of them already are. They said this expanded scope could increase cost exposure, especially on non-U.S. content, appears more embedded in vehicle production than assumed. However, a lot of vehicles are already going to be able to expand on this and handle it properly. OEMs will need to step in and absorb the tariffs with some suppliers, similar to dynamics during COVID. What they're saying is here in this is that everybody needs to calm the heck down with the doggone vehicle tariffs, because I've already warned people right now, especially in the higher-end car market with people that I know. There's this big push right now. All these dealers trying to get these newer cars from Europe, Germany, you know, Audi, Mercedes, before the tariffs hit. And they got these used like 23, 24, 25s. Don't be in some giant race to go buy something and pay massively over sticker or massively too much for it. Dealers are unbelievably hungry, and they're trying to get back their addendums like they had during COVID.
Exactly.
That's what they're doing. the auto industry, where you got OEM manufacturers, you're going to have the basically the manufacturers of the parts. You're going to have all the companies are going to have little price increases, and a lot of people are going to have to absorb a lot of it. It's not going to be the car goes up 25% overnight. If that happened, you'd have a lot more of an issue like manufacturers. So you might see prices go up some in foreign vehicles, which they will definitely. However, it's not going to be this big dramatic explosion like they're talking about here. As Deutsche Bank said, a lot of companies are all going to be having to eat some of this. So that just means profit margins and, you know, basically cost are going to change slightly, but it's not going to be the end of the world. You're not going to see a $90,000 Mercedes suddenly be $120,000, $130,000 overnight when it comes in next month, just to be aware of that. So
well,
give my heads up.
You know, it's exactly what you said. The car dealers made record profits all the way through COVID.
Oh, yeah, COVID.
And because there was a shortage, supposedly, of the computer chips, which was complete nonsense. There never was a shortage of that stuff. It's all lies.
There were a lot of shipping delays.
Well, it wasn't even that. They were intentionally holding them back. And the crazy part about it is, it's kind of like eggs.
Yeah.
Let's short the eggs.
Yeah.
Let's make sure the eggs go to
$12
a dozen. $12
a dozen.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable. And you see what's happened. I mean, you know, all of these things, you know, have been basically pushing and pushing and pushing. When Bill Clinton basically made China part of the World Trade Organization back in the 90s and gave them these favored statuses, all these organizations and major corporations, I mean, hundreds of thousands of them started moving their manufacturing facilities to China.
Yep.
China was in a situation where it was broke. It was about to collapse as the Soviet Union had collapsed. It couldn't do it. It couldn't make it. And so what happened is when Bill Clinton gave them this, these manufacturers in the United States, you know, owned by the precursors of BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, shifted their manufacturing with slave labor over to China. And the whole thing was, well, we're going to teach them how to, you know, have a republic. And then we had Tiananmen Square. We saw how we taught them how to do anything.
Gosh,
and so China hasn't changed. They haven't increased their minimum wage. They're still having slave labor. They're still doing all of it. But now they've taken over the production and the processing of many of our products from the United States. So what we did is we gave them a big chunk of the net worth of the United States, Austin.
Right.
That's what we did. And China now is basically in a situation where they control our imports coming into our country as far as production of, like, on the cars that we just talked about with the chips and all the other parts. And so we gave that away to the United States. We outsource it to Canada. We outsource it to Mexico. We outsource it to China. And because we don't want to have to pay all of the wages that were being put together because of the unions in the United States, and we wanted slave labor in the United States. And what Trump's tariffs are trying to do is to bring that basically that production back into the United States. What no one's really talking about is this. The vast majority of the factories that were basically laid off and laid idle are basically antiquated.
Oh, yeah.
They're old now. They're 30, 40, 50, 100 years old, some of them, and they basically don't have the technology available to them.
Spool it back up.
They've got to spool. It's going to take years to spool these factories back up and get the production back up.
Well, one of the things, though, too, with these tariffs a lot of people are not understanding is that a lot of these are being done as setting the stage for negotiation tools in the future.
Well, that's what Trump's doing. That's
what they're going to do. Everybody's all freaking out about this. This article came out here, and it said how basically the how there's been $6.6 trillion wiped out from the stock
market. Total lie.
Okay, let me explain this to you guys who don't understand it. Money just shifts hands in the markets. Somebody sells, somebody bets on the market getting shorted. They basically make money on the back end. The money's transferred from one hand to another. Shares go down because people pull their money out. $6.6 trillion is not wiped out miraculously, mysteriously, and thin air. Doesn't exist anymore. The same people that knew they were going to short the markets are the same people that basically are making the money on the back end of this whole entire thing they're doing last week and they're doing this week. They knew it was going to happen. I told everybody what they were going to do last week. I told you they're going to short the heck out of the market. It's exactly what they're doing. You can look at the inputs on it. So understand this, again, is more theater to try to show, oh, Donald Trump's imploding the market. There is no implosion in the market. There's a recorrection in the market. A lot of people are pulling their profits out.
Should have never been 45.
Should have never gone up as fast as it did. When you started having this, and you can look at the chart during COVID. I mean, the stock market was starting to grow in an exponential growth curve. I mean, it was going like straight up. It was insane how fast it was going up.
Geometric it was, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is something that needs to be addressed and understand that this isn't a time to freak out. It's time to make sure. Get your affairs in order. Make sure you have food. Make sure you have backup water. Make sure you have backup food storage and everything in between. Set it, forget it. Do the moves you need to do. But don't listen to fear porn because, again, always remember, too, what else is going on behind the scenes right now?
You know what's happened now. Elon Musk and Trump are in a big rift, and apparently.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We don't know what's going on with all this. Now they're saying he's going to be replaced as the head of Doge.
Yeah.
And now because he's arguing with Trump about tariffs. You know, so it's
well,
it's,
no, you wonder why? Yeah. All the parts from Tesla and all the factories he just set up in China over there.
Yeah. And by the way, let me read you this. This is a, what will Musk's nightmare come true? Elon Musk was recently asked what kept him up at night. His greatest fear was the possible collapse of the United States. And here's what he says. This is very true. I worry generally about the strength of America. America is the central column that holds up all of Western civilization. He is correct. Everybody feeds off of us, and they've been doing it for decades since World War II. America's central column holds up Western civilization. If that column fails, it's all over. You can't run off to New Zealand or some other place. It's over. So either we strengthen the column and make sure America is strong or will be strong for a long time, or the roof is coming down. He is right, by the way. Yeah. New world order coming in. Musk is hard-headed, data-driven businessman, so his pessimism cannot be ignored. Is his apprehension justified? Musk's worry is about Western civilization and the political arrangement undergirding it. The civilization requires a liberal, classically understood democracy, which disputes are settled by the rule of law, not violence. What they're not saying is the civilization requires a German. My purple stick hasn't it yet. The civilization requires a Christian overview where disputes are settled by the rule of law, not violence, with an open election-based political system that guarantees such rights as freedom of speech and limited government, which is what a republic is, all the while promoting free enterprise. Conceivably, Musk's own experience in living in South America that virtually overnight was transformed from a peaceful, prosperous nation to a violent third-world nation shapes his pessimism. Musk probably knows that Germany, Austria, Hungary, and Italy existed only briefly as civilized liberal democracies during World War I and World War II interim. Meanwhile, our efforts to create an American-like civilizations around the world illustrate the difficulty of building and sustaining Western civilization. Now, this article is exactly right. We spent hundreds of billions in foreign aid to countless third-world nations to help them become more like America with almost zero results. And we're going to stop and tell you why this is true in a second. Ironically, this aid often propped up tyrants imposing socialism brought to us by the CIA. These failures reveal that while Americans may epitomize Western civilization, our understanding of how to achieve it is limited. No, it's not. I'm going to come to that in just a second. If we better understood its underlying mechanics, which we do, we could improve it at home and even export our secret sauce. And clearly we cannot. Musk wants to preserve something that nobody fully understands, hardly an easy task. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. The reason they asked the former president of Mexico, Fox, many years ago, they said, why in the world has America become such a prosperous nation? You share borders with Mexico, with the United States. You share the same natural resources with the United States. You know, Mexico's got oil and special and metals and all kinds of coal and coal, everything. Why is it that Mexico is a third world country and the United States is prosperous? And here's what he said. He said, when they came looking for America, they came looking for God. Think about what he just said. When they came to Mexico, they came looking for gold, Cortez and the boys. And that's exactly the difference, isn't it? When they came looking for God, for Christianity to be basically brought to America and escaped the fascism and the tyranny of the Church of England, they came to the United States because they wanted to have the right to have freedom of worship. We learned this in school when I was a kid. They don't teach this anymore. Now, some mystery reason why everybody came to the United States. It was for freedom of religion. That's why they came here, the Puritans and all the rest of them. And then what happened is as we got more and more and more prosperous, we started trying to help more and more people, and we forgot the basics of what created the United States of America, and that was the relationship with God Almighty and looking and seeking and praying and understand who Jesus Christ is. We left that, and now we've become a liberal democracy based on socialism, not, you know, a Christian republic based upon God. And that's where we fell so hard and so fast in the United States of America. You know, Benjamin Franklin, when he asked, when coming out of the Constitutional Convention, what kind of government do we have? Are we going to have a, you know, this or that? He goes, no, we've given you a republic. Let's see if you can keep it. And a republic is basically based on the rule of law, where this article talked about and Musk talked about that everybody has specific rights. You can't just go take people and hang them from the bridge because you don't like them because you're a nobleman. That's the thing that we have here in the United States. It's the freedom that was given to us by the New Testament through Jesus that built the United States of America, period. Okay? People are always saying it's the Judeo-Christian concept. No, it's not. It's the Christian concept. You know, the Jews, they don't even, I'm not going to go there right now, but they, the Old Testament Jew, Israel doesn't exist anymore. You know, we basically, have a country called Israel now that's put together by the Rothschild banking cartel, and it's their fiefdom. It's a non-extradition country for the high level, you know, leaders that are basically involved with, you know, running drugs and all the other things they do all over the world. It cannot be extradited or trialed. You know, that's it for the banking cartel families and for the bloodline families and all the rest. But I'm not going to go into detail with that right now because, quite frankly, I don't have time. But the reality is the United States of America is a Christian nation, or was a Christian nation. Remember, Barack Obama came out and says, we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, guess what? Without Christianity, the Constitution of the United States does not work. It doesn't work. Because what happens is people are not seeking the best interest of somebody else out, doing to others as you'd have them do unto you. They don't have that any longer. It's always me, 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 me. What can I can take? What can I can do? Let's add another 100,000 federal workers. Let's increase the federal payroll. Let's see, have more money. Let's print more money. Let's borrow more money. The federal workers don't produce income. They don't produce products and goods and services for the United States of America. They don't do that. They're basically a support system that we have that's massively bloated. And that's why Bill Clinton came in and got rid of 400,000 of them. Then he also gave that special, you know, status to China, which has caused all of this pop, you know, all of this manufacturing capability of the United States, we mentioned earlier in the show, to shift into China, and has massively hurt the United States and taken these good blue-collar jobs from these manufacturing facilities, sent them to slave labor camps over in China. So we've run on that. Why in the world? You know, Henry Ford, I love that guy, right? When he first built Ford Motor Company, he had piles of basically silica piled out in front of his factories. Silica. He had mounds of rubber trees parked out in front. He started from the very beginning in that factory. He melted the silica down and made windshields out of it from the sand. He made took the rubber trees and made tires for his cars. And he took nothing, absolutely nothing, except raw materials and outpop Model T Fords. At the other side, he built it all, and he internalized everything. He had his own. He had his own welding companies. He had everything inside of that facility up there in Michigan, and he built, you know, one of the finest automobiles ever built from a standpoint as far as in the very beginning of time when he started doing this. And he offered a Model T Ford in one color, black. That was it, because he wanted to massively increase the efficiency and keep the cost down under $1,000 for a Model T. That's what he wanted to do, and he did. And so all he did was produce, and we manufactured, and the world could not compete with us. They could not. And so they started throwing big tariffs on us and all the other things they did. And Trump's right about that. We have all these tariffs from all these other countries. We import our stuff into their countries, and yet we don't get to put tariffs on their goods coming into our country. So it's a major problem that needed to be corrected, and the manufacturing needs to come back, Austin, to the United States of America, period. And so it's ironic to me when I see stuff like this, and I think to myself, wow, this is nuts. So what are we going to do here? Well, we're going to have a correction in the stock market. That's it. And, you know, I told you guys 2-3 years ago, I said, you know, if you've got a bunch of profit you made in the stock market, you might want to consider taking some of your profit out.
Yep.
And so now everybody's trying to sell, and they can't get buyers. The market keeps dropping. That's why it drops, because they can't. They have to drop it because there's so many sellers, Austin, trying to get out of their equities. And I see it, and I over and over and over again. But it's interesting, you know. And so it says Americans are hardly immune to de-evolution. Recall the hundreds of urban riots of the 1960s, and more recently the widespread 2020 George Floyd riots. The reemergence of primitive instincts is hardly unexpected. Such barbaric behavior is normal for the last over 95% of our existence remains in our genome. Musk's South Africa background make him especially sensitive to the early warning signs of an impending collapse. Now, I'm not telling you the United States is going to collapse. It's not. The Dow was under 20,000 for years and years and years and years. Nothing collapsed. The Dow was under 10,000 for years and years and years. Nothing collapsed. The problem is people become basically, how should I say, you know, anesthetized.
Well, everybody got spoiled during COVID. Like I told you, I mean, there are people that were making, you know, $2,000-$4,000 a month sitting on the home because they got unemployment because they didn't want to work at McDonald's because they said it was too dangerous because of COVID.
Yeah.
And just stupid stuff like that. Well, what do those people do? Well, those people, all of a sudden, everybody became a day trader. Everybody started throwing a couple bucks in here. I mean, it was almost impossible not to make money back then. So, because there was so much money going in. I mean, Tupperware was like $1.20 a share. During COVID, it got up like $30 a share. I mean, Tupperware, you could not make money. So what happened was everybody got so used to this. It's going up. Now people that have been in the markets for a while are realizing, yeah.
You throw $14 trillion into the market, it's going to go up.
You can't lose money. You could back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were people that were going. I knew people that were flipping out of cars, and they could go buy a Honda Civic, like a new Honda Civic, if they could get it at MSRP. You could go and drive the thing for 6 months, turn around, and make $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on it by driving it for 6 months. And people doing that all kinds of stuff. That's what the market was doing. And now a lot of people are finally going, oh, my gosh, it's recorrecting. It's going down. It's crashing. It's going to recorrect. Keep your heads on a swivel, but also, too, don't get stressed out. Make wise decisions with everything and continue to keep your body and mind strong, because that's one of the most effective things you can do. I talked this about Doug on Wednesday. You know, you can't change the market. There's a lot of things you can't change. I can't stop chemtrails from happening. We can talk about them. We can blast them. We can continue to
notice they're still happening.
Right. We can, you know, talk about them and get them, you know, people to be aware of them, but I can't physically stop them. What can I do? I can physically keep my own health top tier. I can keep my mental acuity. I can keep my mental health. I can keep my body. I can keep family. I can keep friends around me. Everybody on the same page and everybody strong and healthy. That's what I can do, and I can continue to increase my positive energy for everyone to keep talking positive and continue to do what I can for the local areas and basically the local economy and the city and these counties and continue to promote stuff like that and keep people healthy. That's what we can do on a small scale, because I think sometimes people get too wrapped up in saying, oh, this gigantic event happening. Okay, well, if you can't change that or you can't affect that directly, what can you affect positively? What can you make a difference about? Can you start talking more positive? Can you start encouraging more people? Can you start doing more things the best of your ability to make positive change? And that's what you can do to make a difference. So don't get wrapped up in the fear porn on the theater show that we watch called the television and all the other nonsense propaganda they tell you. Always try to see through the fog and look at what's really happening and try to work on yourself.
No, that's true. And here's the part of this other article I wanted to cover with you guys today. The China basically was started, the revolution in China was done after the Soviet Revolution by the same Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan people who basically did the Russian Revolution. But they couldn't get the Russian Revolution to work because basically the Russians had the Russian Orthodox Church and they believed in God and they believed in Jesus. And so they had a really hard time extinguishing the idea of God because, you know, the government is very, very, very strong, but it can't compete against the nuclear family, Austin.
No.
The nuclear family is the strongest unit ever. So they had to destroy the nuclear family. And the way they had to destroy the nuclear family, they had to take away its belief in God, and they had a belief in the government.
That's exactly right.
The government had to become God.
The government has to be God.
Yep. Right. Russia, the Soviet Union couldn't do that.
China's done.
That's why Lenin and Stalin went in and started killing tens of thousands of priests in Russia.
That's
what they did. They killed tens of thousands. They killed like 60 million of their own people to try to extinguish Christianity, and they still couldn't get rid of it because it's been around for thousands of years.
Primarily Christian. You know, and it's always ironic to me how you want to hear people talk about certain events that happened, whether it be in World War II and other wars, and nobody ever wants to address what happened with the Bolsheviks and 60 million Christians being killed. Isn't that interesting that topic never gets brought up?
50,000 priests. They were burning churches with the priests and the parishioners in the churches.
In the churches.
And this went on for 10 years, and they could not, and that's why the Soviet Union couldn't extinguish it. They couldn't extinguish it. So when they went into China, they didn't have that problem because Christianity wasn't in China like that. And so they were able to come in and say, oh, by the way, there is no God but the state. Yep. They still could not make it work. But they had the slave labor. They had billions of people. In fact, now here, let me show you this article. In truth, Clinton was only a loud voice bringing China into the World Trade Organization, representing a conglomerate of international business interests. That long desire to grow profits by tapping into China's abundant supply of slave labor. They don't teach that in the Nugget of Truth and the kiddies through suffering through the public school indoctrination. The Marxists, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, who control the teachers' unions and write the textbooks, advance a common narrative that Clinton's efforts to welcome China into the planet's most lucrative trade clubs were part of a larger, well-intentioned foreign policy plan to westernize China and make the communist country more like us. Would you believe that thousands of American businesses moved their operations to China over the last 2+ decades because they were eager to liberalize the communist nation, institute massive workplace regulations, utilize more green tech energies, and constantly hike China's minimum wage? No, it's not true. None of it happened. Slave labor was always the point. Building things in a totalitarian nation that brutalizes striking workers and imprisons agitators in labor camps, and always the point. They also take them out back and take their organs out and sell them on the international market if they run their mouth. Just thought I'd mention that. Moving operations to that country that doesn't give a fig about protecting the environment or workers' health has always been the point. The foreign policy crowd can pretend that enriching the Chinese Communist Party with global trade was some brilliant gamut to turn China into Norway, but the economic types who pushed that public propaganda were actually looking for cheap workers with no rights. You go into China, the air quality is so bad you can barely breathe. I've been there. It's so bad they had to shut the factories down before the Olympics were held in Beijing because the athletes couldn't breathe properly because the O2 levels were so low from the pollution. That's how bad it is over there. I've been there. You can't see 100 yards in front of you. It's like a fog, a continual pollution fog. They weren't interested in liberating a billion Chinese. They were interested in liberating themselves with expensive environmental or labor regulations. They offshored their workforce to take advantage of slave labor. Until Clinton helped to secure China's membership in the WTO, the communist nation was on the ropes. It could barely feed its people. It had a third world economy. Despite the United Kingdom handing over Hong Kong in 1997, the Chinese Communist Party remained an international pariah after its slaughter of students protesting for democracy in Tiananmen Square. There was no reason to reward China's human rights abuses by elevating it to the international stage. There was no reason to suspect that a dangerous new Cold War would develop between a wealthy United States and impoverished China, lest the former offered the latter normalized trade relations. Had Clinton and his Western allies maintained economic pressure on China, it is likely there would be no Chinese government party today, period. Instead, the Chinese government party has grown only more powerful over the last 25 years. China has become the planet's premier manufacturing hub. Klaus Schwab, that pervert likes to walk around in a wedding dress. World's economic foreign globalists are so envious of China's technocratic surveillance that they regularly promote programs meant to remake the West in China's image. We see that with the Chinese credit score, Austin. Yep. Warren Buffett's right-hand man, now deceased Charlie Munger, was a huge fan of the way the Chinese communists controlled their economy. The U.S. trade deficit with China was around $5 billion in the 1980s before Clinton did what he did. Now it's $400 billion a year. Hey, think about that for a second. Excluding the services of energy, mining, and agricultural products, the U.S. is running a manufacturing deficit of roughly $500 billion with China every year. That means all that money that we have is going to China. Since Clinton and the foreign policy gurus opened American doors to Chinese goods, the United States has outsourced most of its manufacturing to its chief political adversary. Now, that brilliant foreign policy, right? Three decades ago, China's economy was fragile and its future was uncertain. And though many economists would argue that China's economy is still fragile today, the Chinese Communist Party has never been more powerful. It has the largest military in the world. It's expanding its naval and hybrid warfare capabilities at an exponential pace and becoming a real threat to American military supremacy. Bill Clinton gave away the silent shaft technology of our nuclear submarines to China. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys. He did that. The Clinton trade enthusiast told us by offshoring American manufacturing jobs to the other side of the world prevent a future devastating conflict with China. You know, and I see all of this stuff and I read these articles. I'm going to post this one for you so you can see it. But you start to understand that what we did, we basically sold off the United States in piecemeal by sending off our manufacturing capability into a third world communist country. And that's what we've done. Now, that's why I like the tariff idea, Austin.
Yes.
But again, it's taken China 30 years to spool Correct. Up its industrial capacity, and we've had 30 years to deindustrialize the United States. So if we think that we're going to start manufacturing products again in the United States with all the regulations we have with EPA and all the pollution regulations, it's going to be very, very, very difficult. It's going to have to spool up over a period of years again. But what hopefully Trump's trying to do is he's trying to now renegotiate with China and basically drop the trade barriers against us and start doing better trade with both all countries around the world. That's what I hope he's doing.
That's what I think a lot of the strategists of this, a lot of people that I've talked to, because when you start looking at this, like you said, re-spooling up as far as manufacturing, it can be done.
It's going to be decades.
It's going to take a while. And so in the time being, we have to have some fair trade deals. These percentages of tariffs are absolutely atrocious. And that's one thing that everybody's got to look at the longer play on this now and not get all stressed out about everything that's happening. And so that's, again, be aware of it, understand it, but also don't be spooked about it. Now, this is also news, something I want to cover. It's kind of funny, but it's not. California again. Sorry, my California listeners. I love you guys. You're great. But your state's got some really, really bad financial stuff they're doing. California fails 7 out of the 22 federal program audits. 66% of COVID unemployment benefits are completely in question. The report concluded that the state did not materially comply with certain requirements for 7 of the 22 federal programs, basically including one program for noncompliance with pervasive. Listen to this right now. The audit found that in 2023, years after the state made $55 billion in fraudulent COVID lockdown air benefits payments, the state likely made potentially ineligible payments of nearly $200 million. The audit also found that 138 pandemic employee assistant programs that were tested, 91 or 66% had verification issues, meaning an enormous portion of the money that they've been paying out has been fraudulent. This, again, shows you why this stuff has to be brought back in and why you start seeing these states get out of control with these NGOs and putting out these billions of dollars in programs that just gets handed out into thin air. I can guarantee you, if we start looking and digging and digging and digging, and we go to Peru and we ask Peru subcontractors if we can get a hold of some of these transgender comic books that we spent $2.3 million on, I guarantee you're going to find a whole bunch of whopping goose egg zero amounts. The stuff doesn't exist. The programs that they're putting together with USAID aren't real. They're fake on paper. That's what they are. They're programs on paper sent to give money to these NGOs, then give to subcontractors, then funnel to LLCs, then put in shell corporations, and then the money's just dispersed and it disappears. It
goes in the stock market.
Yeah. And now all the people that were smart money, long money in the market, knew the market was going to get shorted on Thursday and Friday. Everybody that's smart enough knew it was going to get shorted. We knew it. They gave us proper preparation time for it. And everybody's going, oh my gosh, the market's falling. What'd you think was going to happen? They told us it was going to fall for an entire week. Literally verbatim, Thursday, if these tariffs go into place, the market's going to crash. Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. And that's what happened now. $6.6 trillion got transferred out.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's old saying. You hear that?
I've never heard that before.
Maybe I'm younger than you.
Maybe that. No. I was three when I had you, buddy.
Yeah. Now, this is a positive story. Now, this is something that I'm extremely proud about. Our shows and other shows alike, along with RFK Jr. and the work that he's been doing, in my opinion, I've been instrumental. What we've talked about food coloring for decades, this stuff is starting to come to a head. Multiple states now are moving to ban all artificial dyes from food as RFK works on a federal level. California, you guys actually got this one right, guys. Virginia and West Virginia are among a few of that have passed bills to ban artificial dyes and other food additives. More states are considering similar legislation. Environmental working groups report that 20 states have introduced about 40 measures addressing artificial dyes and chemicals in food. This is a big deal, dude.
No, this is a big deal.
This is huge.
No, I've been talking about this for 40 years.
Yeah, and we've talked about it, we've pushed it, and now stuff. And so here's a list of the bills. I don't have time to go through all of them here. You guys can look at them and go through them. It says, like, beginning August 1st, red dye number 3, red dye number 40, red dye number 5, red dye number 6, blue dye number 1, blue dye number 2, green number 3 cannot be used at any school lunches in the state laws with West Virginia now.
And what's going to happen is, because the manufacturers can't basically not allow their products to be shipped into West Virginia, they're going to have to stop it.
They're going to have to stop it. Exactly. This is finally the change we needed in the food supply, guys. So congratulations to you, West Virginia. My hat's off to you on this one. This is actually a big deal. Multiple other states are starting to expand now. They're saying by 2028, all those dyes are going to be completely banned from all food supplies in West Virginia, not just with schools. All food supplies. So if it's sold in West Virginia, it's too toxic to be in there. This should have already been done years ago, but I'm glad it's happening now. Remember, Europe already does this. Red 40, you will not find anything with red 40 in Europe. You don't find it because a lot of the European Union countries have banned it. Like you said, you're not going to make a product with red 40 for this country and this state to make another one without it.
The logistics is a nightmare.
It doesn't matter. And not to mention, it's not that cost prohibitive to make products without food coloring. Use beet juice extract. Use grape extract to make it purple. Newsflash, we don't have to put purple dye in it. It's not that hard. So this stuff really needed to happen. I'm really excited. Eliminating these harmful chemicals from food is going to play a huge role in reducing a lot of the health problems we have in the kids and adults alike. And I guarantee you, if they actually really address it, you're going to start seeing a lot of the hyperactivity and ADD symptoms, you claim those that are related to food, you're going to start seeing those come down over the years now with kids.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, Daily Mail had an article on this past week, and I posted it on our website. It basically says, this woman says, I have colon rectal cancer because of this one food.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it's pork.
Yeah.
And it's ham. And it's sodium nitrite.
Yep.
And it's been linked to stomach cancer and colorectal cancer for 100 years. And they know it causes colorectal cancer.
Yeah, it's still in the food supply.
It's in doggone salmon. It's in smoked salmon sometimes.
I should have taken a photo of that to blast it and put it on here and show them back.
Wild smoked salmon has sodium nitrite and yellow color. And
red 40
in it.
Red 40 and sodium nitrite and smoked salmon doesn't have to have sodium nitrite.
If it's real wild salmon, it's already pink. Period.
Yeah.
Now, they could be using some of the gray fish they have in those ponds, saying it's salmon. And
if it has some water that's coming in from outside sources, suddenly it's wild caught.
By the way, inside Elon's downfall is Trump's right hand and the meeting that caused the president to blow a fuse. This is interesting. Once hailed as President Trump's right hand man, Elon Musk is now facing a serious fall from grace in Washington. The tech billionaire has been riding high since his appointment to the president's special advisor, but his time in Washington is rapidly drawing to a close. Musk is currently overseeing the Department of Government Efficiency, the brand new federal agency tasked with making the government leaner, faster, and cheaper. He rolled out a big plan to cut hundreds of thousands of government jobs and reduce federal spending by a whopping $2 trillion. But his aggressive slash-and-burn approach to the federal workforce and his frequent outbursts on X, his social media platform, have upset Trump's cabinet members, including Rand Paul, who has fell a long ways from his father, Ron Paul, as far as his beliefs. I don't care for Rand Paul at all. He is seen as a political liability. Foes have highlighted his dismal failure in Wisconsin, where he plowed $20 million into doomed Republican candidates in the state Supreme Court race, while reviewed as a referendum on Musk. And I'm going to stop that for a second. Wisconsin is insanely liberal. I mean, it's ridiculous how bad it is up there. And so he was really trying to do something that probably couldn't have been done right there.
Hey, you did a good job on the
By the way.
Address that.
Yes, I was scheduled to be in Wisconsin. My flight was delayed over an hour coming out of Tampa into Chicago, because of a storm, which means I don't know what time it was going to get in. And I only had an hour connection, so I could not make the connection flight to go to the small town where the conference was being held because it was the last flight out for the evening. So I had to do it on video on Skype. I told you guys on Friday that was a possibility, and that's exactly what happened. So any of you came to see me, to speak to me personally, just send me an email. Tell me that you were there. Give me your telephone number. I'll give you a shout. But I really will call you back. And I'll talk to you if you have any health questions, because I told you that I would do that for you. But the crazy part about it is I really wanted to be there, had everything scheduled to go there, and couldn't get there. And so it was just very frustrating. I won't make that mistake again.
The problem is the flights nowadays. I mean, it's like everything's constantly delayed. Everything's another layover. Everything's another hour.
Well, the problem you run into, I have to do this podcast in the morning. And so I can't just leave first thing in the morning because I'm on the air here with you guys. And so I couldn't just leave first thing in the morning and miss this show. So I had to wait until the later flight at 5:30, and it got pushed to 6:30, and I couldn't make a connection into Chicago. And that was it. There was another flight out. And so I would have missed the conference had I taken that flight into Chicago. I probably would have been stranded in Chicago. And I didn't want to have all that happen either, because I didn't want to mess up the entire weekend for me either. So it was one of those things. But I did a great presentation for you guys, talked about a lot of stuff, a lot of in-depth stuff, went into a whole bunch of stuff, a bunch of detail. I'll read you one of it here in a second. But anyhow, this Wisconsin thing's a real mess. The president himself was reportedly incensed that Musk had given clearance for a Pentagon briefing on China, and he was concerned it represented potential conflict with the tech mogul's business dealings. And another split, Musk too, who took to X over the weekend to bash Trump's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, over his defense of the president's tariffs. So Musk is basically saying things that he probably shouldn't have said. And it says that Trump is still a big fan of Musk, sources say. But it appears that two are destined to part despite the SpaceX's boss whopping $288 million in campaign donation. Austin, I was unaware of the fact that Musk gave Trump $288 million in a campaign donation for the presidency.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. Trump recognized potential difficulties early on. He asked his chief of staff, Susie Wiles, to have a weekly meetings with a billionaire first buddy after receiving reports of friction among his top staff. But Wiles wasn't the only person Musk clashed with. He and Secretary of State Mark Rubio reportedly had it out during a cabinet meeting, an argument that took place in front of Trump and Wiles. Many of Trump officials, including Wiles, were said to be frustrated that Musk wasn't sharing his plans before he made them public. His lack of coordination would throw off the White House. Now, let me stop for 1 second here.
Some of the stuff was okay, pretty bizarre.
I really dislike Susie Wiles. No offense to her, but I just don't care for her. But the reality is this. You know, when you have things that you're trying to do and you've got a leaky cabinet. I'm going to tell you that. The ones like that have to run their mouth to the press and leak news stories. Sometimes it's better to keep the things private and keep them secret and not say anything to them publicly before they're released.
That's true.
Because once you release them, if they've already been leaked to the press, all the people are going to come out against you immediately because they've already had time to put their stories together against you. Just saying.
That's true.
So Musk probably got tired of that and decided he's going to go ahead and just not say anything to anybody until it was time to release it, including the president, which is a problem.
That's kind of a problem when you've been kind of shuttled into a position because of who you are, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you start cutting all this stuff and firing all these
people.
Well,
I did not have a lot of respect for Musk until I heard him with that Brett Meyer thing the other day.
No, he did good with that.
Yeah,
he's a little bit more polished. Sometimes he's a little choppy.
Yeah, but I want to read you one paragraph that I read on the seminar on Friday. If you get a chance to watch that seminar, it says, "And what we have discovered at the core basis of the universe, the foundation of the universe, is a single unified field of intelligence." That'd be God. That'd be Jesus, by the way. "A field that unites gravity with electromagnetism, light with radioactivity, with the nuclear force, so that all forces of nature and all the so-called particles of nature, quarks, leptons, protons, neutrons, are now understood to be one. They are all just different ripples in a single ocean of existence that is the unified field. And that field is a non-material field." I thought it was on a show all the time. "It's ultimately a field of consciousness, and everything in the universe, nothing but planets, is nothing but that, consciousness. Planets, trees, people, animals, we are all just waves of vibration in this underlying unified superstring field." That article, that's a quote by John Hagelin, particle physicist. And what's interesting about that particular quote is we talked about when we went through the scriptures on Friday on how Jesus holds it all together. He is the unified field. Jesus is, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that to you. That's why when he was on the cross and he was crucified, he said it was finished, and he died in his physical body. The entire planet started to shake and fall apart with earthquakes. God the Father came in and stopped it. And we talked about this whole concept in detail on the Friday seminar in Wisconsin. So if you guys were there, I'm glad hope you enjoyed it. Hope it wasn't too much for you guys. It was a lot of information. But if you got to listen to it, hopefully Rob will make that available for streaming. But it goes into detail on what we talk about so many times in bits and pieces on this show.
Absolutely. And no, you're exactly right. That's why I think on this show we like to bring stuff together and kind of take stuff from everything and put it into one show every day, because we talk about a lot of different stuff. And I get some people like, "Why are you talking about this? Or you're not talking about this enough, or you're not talking about health enough." We try to cover everything on here because a lot of stuff is connected. And that's why I try to give you guys different topics that are going on that are relevant to everything as a whole, that can make differences and positives and positive aspects and positive increases in your life. This is an article here I just want to give parents a heads up about, because I know some families that use this, and it's basically like an Apple Watch that doesn't have connection to phones, so their kids don't have connection to the internet or the phone, but their parents can keep track of them, and they can also talk to them on it. And it's basically like via text, and they can keep a real-time location data of their kids. So you go, okay, maybe. It's up to you if you want to do this or not. Well, there's a problem with this, though. Over the week, T-Mobile's sync-up GPS tracker glitched. Instead of allowing parents to see their children where the device powered by the services, it started showing them all other children.
That's bad. That's bad.
Across the U.S.
That's bad.
And it gets worse. They reported they received screenshots affected by sync up. Parents who, instead of being able to track their own kids, suddenly had access to other kids' photos, names, address level location, as well as location update information down to 1 minute ago or just now.
That's child abduction. I've been on steroids. That's awful. Yeah.
This is spooky. Those children were in various states. The parents said that each time they log out of the sync up app, they log in again to find the fix. The information about a different random child would appear. So it wasn't just one. Every time they log back in, another child would pop up on there.
How do we know they're not using this for child sex trafficking?
There you go. My whole point of this. I'm not trying to put a tinfoil hat on and say these programs are being basically used on the back end to abduct children. But I am saying this. If it was this easy to have a glitch with T-Mobile, what happens if you get a hacker that gets into here and gets access to the entire database?
You know, when you
put a Trojan horse in the back.
When you watch that movie, The Sound of Freedom, with Jim Caviezel, it shows how these guys are ordering these children from photographs and what they want. That's like a portfolio.
It's a dark movie.
It's a dark movie, and it basically has, well, we have this child here, this child here, this child here. Which one do you want?
This is some sick stuff.
Yeah.
How do you know they're not trying to use these programs now? We have this child right here. We know they're.
I don't think T-Mobile has anything to do with any of this.
I don't think T-Mobile has anything. I'm saying T-Mobile is
hacking in. Yeah.
But when you start having this level of information with this real time, I mean, golly, it's address level location.
It showed how they would find the child they wanted, who had been ordered by some weirdo, and then find him and then abduct him on the back of a motorcycle and just drag him off. It showed it in the movie. And so if this is part of what they're doing here, be very careful with your kids, guys.
Because the issue is they can use it as a double-edged sword because, yes, they could use to find it, but then people go, well, I can find my kids. Well, all they have to do is strip the watch off. Quite frankly, in my opinion, if you're going to do something like this and you want to track your child, if that's something you want to do, I would have it on a private program, and I would also have it like their tracker, like in their backpack or in their shoe or something that basically can't be just stripped off, and that way you can keep an eye on them on a regular basis if that's what you want to do. But this is creepy considering something as big as T-Mobile glitches like this.
Well, I was watching that movie the other night, you know, with James Bond, and they had put a tracker on him.
Yeah.
You know, M6, you know, his company did. MI6. And when they abducted him, they just cut the tracker out.
Right. You know, all you got to do is run an RFID scanner over the body.
What's this one now?
This is the article I wanted to cover this on the website. So Harrison wrote a really good article on this. Last week we talked about creatine and what it does actually to people that are having issues with sleep deprivation and cognitive function. But I want to give you guys a heads up on this. This is on the front
page. Harrison wrote this?
Yeah, he wrote this article for me. It says creatine unlocking,
smart
fueling kid. Cells and elevating cognitive performance. I sent him the article on this about what creatine does with ATP, and it actually reduces issues in the brain with lack of sleep and actually causes and helps cognitive functioning. And he wrote a really good article, even with more detail on it, cited the study that I talked to you guys about 2 weeks ago. Can creatine boost brain function when you're sleep deprived? And the answer is yes, it can in this research study. So if you guys want to learn more about it, the German creatine that we use, it's in a controlled release capsule. It's the only way I recommend taking it. Now, I experimented with creatine for literally probably almost 2 decades now. I started trying it when I was a teenager. Incredible product. Helps out with energy production. Helps out with strength in the gym. But it does way, way more with energy, with brain function, with cognitive health, way more than I realized. But you've got to be taking it in a form that absorbs in the small intestines. Taking scoops of it in water and drinking it actually can have a byproduct effect called creatinine. I've talked about it in detail, and it causes more side effects and stress on the kidneys. You want to take it to where it's going in the small intestines and absorbing and not breaking down into creatinine in the stomach with hydrochloric acid.
Well, you know,
very important.
Well, one of the things it really does, it helps the body to maintain more water.
Yes, now, which
water,
is important.
Now, water is very important because water is an essential component of ATP synthesis.
Correct.
And, you know, it enters into the reaction. It's a catalyst is what it is. It doesn't.
That's why dehydration kills you. The blood gets too thick, but also ATP production, the mitochondria start to
die. So I've been taking 2 capsules of this stuff now, and it helps me sleep better. I've already seen that now. And it's gotten me a much, much stronger in the gym.
It does do that.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm functioning better with the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, when I don't sleep as well at night, or if I don't have, or if I have to stay up late, or if I'm doing something else.
Correct.
So I've noticed that already, and that's just 2 capsules a day. And I wouldn't take any more than that.
That's only 1,000 milligrams.
That's plenty.
Well, you can take more. You make your own decision on it. Recommended dosage 3 is 1,500 milligrams on the bottle.
I've been seeing great results with 2. If you want to take 3, it's like urgent.
But again, it shows you
how effective
it is when you take it the proper way. Mm-hmm. I know people, including myself, that have done up in 10 to 15 grams a day. And the problem with that is
kidneys.
I had blood levels checked, and my creatinine was to the roof. My doctor's like, bro, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm on 15 grams of creatinine. I'm super strong. He's like, yeah, your kidneys are fighting you too. Take it properly, and the thing is, when you take it properly, you don't have to take the high doses, so you don't get the side effects from it. That's the whole point of this.
Well, the thing about it is, like, I know when I do legs now, it's like so much easier than it was.
Yeah.
The same weight. I'm like, well, this is great. This is fantastic.
Yep.
So now I'm, I'm gaining some muscle weight again, which means my muscles are basically getting more water in, which means I'm getting better ATP.
Yep.
Because it acts as water. You have to have water, guys, and that's why you want to make sure you drink water that have a bunch of chemicals in it.
And that's why you also have better recovery. You have better muscle retention. You have better strength. It's all one cycle. There's a magnesium brain fruit. Throw that in for some cognitive benefits.
And the powder multiple.
Yeah, the powder multiple. That's a stack. So again, my friends, you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, Team Health Masters. Be sure to sign up for the updates on the Brower Show, browershow.com. You can get the links on both websites. Get up there, put your name, email, sign up for the Brewer Show and Health Masters, and get the specials we have, the discounts, the kits, the coupons, and the daily show sent right to your email every single day. Have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, my friends. We'll check you out. Talk to you again on the show tomorrow, as always.
And always remember, it's always about Jesus. He's the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. And I had the opportunity again yesterday to go to the altar at church and pray for you guys. Thank you for your support. I love you guys.